Shane Jones is with us. Yes, we talk on Tuesdays, but I thought, having witnessed something quite remarkable over the past week, Shane might like to comment about a changing of the guard at the Kingitanga, a new and youthful face for our Queenie Ho, and other matters. As always, your whakaro, kōrero is appreciated, Shane. Thanks for joining us once again. Tēnā koe.
Kia ora, ata mai te. Greetings, folks.
Kia ora. And first, whakamarama mai o whakaro o te, i tēnei wiki, te tangihanga o Tuheitia, and the rise of a new leader of the Kingitanga. The stage is yours for a moment, please, Shane.
You know, a lot of our speakers at the marae, they recited the genealogy, they recited instances of Kingi Tuheitia's service. They talked about the challenges of the time, both socially and politically. But often it's important we go back and remember the things that our tupuna lived by. And one thing they lived by was the ōkoro, or the maramataka. And it was my elderly aunts from the north who rung me and said, Shane, if you do speak, can you remind whānau of the king that he passed away with the waning of the moon, and he was buried on the day where the old-time Māori believed that the spring had arrived, and the bird of that call is the pipi whiraurua, which they had heard, I don't know, somewhere up around Kaitaia. And that's often an example of how mātauranga Māori means something, as opposed to often getting tossed around by and used by people who may not have that level of appreciation. And those types of traditions and that element, I think, is going to be needed for the ballast of our new queen as she seeks to fulfil that ancestral duty. Lots of us, Dale, we achieve our roles, or in my case, we were given the role because we fought an election and the public bestowed upon us a mandate to assume the role of being a parliamentarian and a minister. But the new queen, in many respects, she has inherited a duty and a role. And it's one thing to hold a role, it's another thing to fulfill a role. And I think King Tuheitia, in the latter stages of his career, as I said on the marae, he found his balance and he found a sweet spot as to how he could fulfill the role taken over when he was very young, in terms of not a great deal of experience. Although he knew kapa haka and understood the earthiness of living around Waikato, but then he was thrust into a role that he had to fulfill that was well beyond the to and fro of life in and around Waikato. And I suspect the new queen, she's had a better level of preparation than perhaps the dad had. And let's face it, mate, she is an epitome of what turns on so many of the rangatahi. She's a figure, and I dare say she'll be a figurehead for Māori Renaissance through the kapahaka, through the language, and obviously an unstinting pride in her own skin.
Tēnā koe, and thank you, Shane. It's been an amazing week, and a privilege to be part of broadcasting and celebrating the life of Tuheitia, and I'm pleased you touched on how he had found his sweet spot. We mourn his passing and have great hopes for our new young queen. I notice on your socials that you're ribbing into the Greens again. You just can't seem to get on with those with that party. Why is that, Shane? You say that they're helping to drive our people to Australia.
Well, I mean, what tipped me over the edge is the level of hypocrisy when I watched the Greens go up to Ohakune and try and make soft, purring sounds that they could relate to the people suffering job dislocation with the potential closure of the Winstones mill. It's the Greens' very ideology that is closing down those industries in New Zealand. Their unwillingness to pursue a strategy of transition at a very, very manageable and gradual pace, so we don't throw too many kiwis on the scrap heap. They don't want an energy system that will keep industry flourishing. And let's face it, that particular company has had major challenges with energy costs, and those energy costs are driven in many respects not only by profit, but this hypocritical thinking that somehow by making ourselves poorer as a nation, we can enrich the planet. And I'm never ever going to take a backward step in that regard. But at the same point, hey, we're professional politicians. It's all part of political banter, political rhetoric. No doubt they'll serve it back to me when the fast track legislation finally sees the light of day back in Parliament. But currency and visibility, Dale, is a key feature of being an effective politician. Although I have been told that a part of my speech was captured by the New Zealand Herald. I don't remember saying it. I must have said it in some other context. That I recalled that my grandmother taught me a word, humarika, which means the dignity of silence. And the New Zealand Herald have concluded I've yet to learn that grandmotherly lesson.
I have heard that sometimes the best thing to do about something is nothing. That's an old saying as well, Shane. Hey, while you're talking about it, I know you've been pushing for some sort of deal, not unlike what we witnessed at Rio Tinto at the bottom of the south here. So we're talking about significant job loss, 200-odd jobs, and $30 million out of the local economy in the central North Island, which is obviously important to that local economy and the way of life of all those who call that part of Aotearoa home. So any updates regarding electricity costs and the mill closures?
Well, there's no change to the attitude of the gentailers. In fact, the Meridian CEO said there is no energy crisis and there is no energy shortage because demand is muted, given that we all have fresh light bulbs. He said something to that effect on Radio New Zealand. I can't wait to acquaint him with the political response on that. Sometimes that level of foolishness leads people to watch their light bulbs being put out. So there's no change at that level. Obviously, the officials are working through a bunch of different options. But, you know, we've got to bear in mind one thing. We're at the tail end of trade and logistics deep in the South Pacific. People don't come here unless there's an attraction. For as long as we don't have internationally competitive energy, given that there are other places around the world closer to markets, closer to paying customers, we can't control the foreign exchange movements. We can't control international commodity prices. We can't control international fuel prices. But it is unbelievable that New Zealand over the last month has had the highest energy prices in the Western world. And all we see is people losing their jobs in areas such as Ohakune and CEOs tone deaf, giggling at the level of profit that they've been able to take out of the economy. It is just not sustainable. I'll put my best foot forward. I'm not the energy minister, but obviously these matters will be addressed by cabinet at a certain point in time. But know this from me, the next election is only a couple of years away, and this issue will be high on the agenda of New Zealand First.
Tēnā koe, and wouldn't expect anything less. Just finally, Far North District Council with Moko, they go into their vote about Māori wards. Any preference from you being a man from that part of the world?
Oh, well, I've been very judicious about these matters because my son Penitoe is one of those councillors and my younger brother Lucas is a councillor on the regional council, and they felt that they had a duty to step up to the plate and take up the challenge of being a face and a voice for that part of our constituency. I do think that with a successful campaign that the North could still be convinced to maintain a mix of seats, but it has to come from the voting preferences of our people up north.
Tēnā koe, and thanks very much for sharing some time with us, Shane. Alex
Peter, Ngami.
Have a good weekend. Shane Jones, normally Tuesday mornings, but this at around 7:45.